Welcome to the Gary and Kenny Show. I'm Gary Kroger in Waterloo, Iowa, and I am joined by...
Ken Seisler in chilly, cold, cloudy Calabasas, California.
It's cold and cloudy?
Yeah, look at this. I'm wearing a sweater. This is very unusual. I never get to wear sweaters.
By cold, what is that for you?
Well, I know to you it's going to sound like a balmy day, but I think we're like 62, 63.
Well, I just said it's clear and warm here. It's 38.
Wow. Yeah, well, you see, that's what they call everything's relative.
It is. Kenny, I like the sweater look on you.
You only get it very rare occasions. It is a nice thing out here where I do live in Calabasas that because it's considered, I think, low desert, that while the summers are hotter, the winters are colder.
Yes.
So that's nice. So I have a fireplace. I put on the fire. I get to wear a sweater.
Well, you put on a fire because the evening gets into the 40s.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
We wouldn't even consider a fire in the 40s here. That would be too warm? That would be too warm.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, that's... The 40s. Yeah, no. Well, you know, people, when you live out here, you become your sensitivity.
Oh, I know. I lived there for years, and at this time of year, I would put on a long winter coat.
Right.
But when it gets to the temperature that you consider cold here, and I'm not trying to be funny, it's shorts.
Yeah, no. Listen, I know. I'm very, very much aware of that. But
well, I just want to compliment your look. It matches your hair. And you know what, Kenny?
So the gray shirt matches my gray hair. Is that what was that a compliment?
Well, yeah. Okay. But it's a nice match.
You got to work on your compliments. That was
I think I'm just, well, here's a compliment for you.
Okay.
I'm just now noticing you have very nice eyebrows.
Well, have you thought of it? Thought of it. Nobody's ever in my entire life
ever
mentioned it. Never. Wow, I feel so sorry for the people who are only hearing this on the podcast. They must be going, his eyebrows. Where do we go see his eyebrows?
Well,
you go to YouTube and you can see my eyebrows.
I seem to have found a theme this today, but your blue eyes are coming out, your eyebrows, your skin complexion is very even.
Mm-hmm.
Do you wear male cosmetics? Do you powder for the show?
No, nothing. This is all natural.
All natural, Kenny.
Yeah. Do you put on any
kind
of... I put
on a little powder, and I still get
a
little greasy
looking. Yeah, I do. I don't have powder.
I have powder. I'm an actor. But I take this very seriously in terms of, you know, I have kind of a uniform. I dress the set, the tree, my fern.
I know. Don't talk about the background, because it's the whole...
The couch?
I don't want to talk about
wife,
the couch.
Yeah, my wife in Chicago wrote to me and said, what's with Kenny's couch? And now that I'm looking at it, it does look... Sort of like it, you borrowed it from, you know, Kappa Alpha Theta.
Well, okay, let's give the couch a break, because the couch is 30 years old, all right?
It's okay, been so 30 years old, and your children are how old?
34, 36,
I'm just trying to, what happened on that couch? Any great stories?
No, there are, yes. You wrote on my Facebook page, I bet that couch has seen many conceptions, which I thought was weird, because... We don't know if it had any conceptions. It certainly had fornications.
Well, you could.
There was a lot of fornications. Well, if conceptions happen, there's going to be lawsuits. So conceptions.
None of your children could have been conceived on that couch? I mean,
no, I know exactly where everybody was conceived.
You know everybody that's ever fornicated on that couch?
I do, one time a friend used the couch to fornicate with somebody who I didn't know.
Is this recently?
No, this is a while ago. Yeah.
I want to sort of plug the fact, like a real show, that we have a guest that will be coming on later, Laura Foy, who is a Hurricane Ian survivor.
Yes, she is. And it took this long to get her internet back so that we could have her back on the show.
Because we had her on the show while she, like the day before,
the day, the morning of.
And
it turned out to be, we were kind of being flippant about it. I certainly was being flippant about it. You know, before the storm, the calm before the storm, it didn't look that serious. And here we are doing this live report and whatever. And then... You know, I think nobody realized it. And then the next morning it was like, oh my God, her house was destroyed. You know, it was a pretty traumatic experience.
They didn't try to live, weather the storm, did they?
They stayed in the house overnight.
Yeah. They stayed in the house.
Yeah.
We can talk about the worst of it. Well, we'll talk about it.
But here's the I want to. So recently, I know you've been posting a lot because this has happened. So you are in Iowa, which has always been the first
caucus, the first
primary, and it looks like you will no longer be first now.
The only president we'll ever see here again will be if we know what plane they're on flying over. And there are people who think that I'm wrong, but I'm not. Nobody's going to fight for our five electoral votes. The Republicans have their own caucus, of course, and that's not in jeopardy, but it never really was a caucus. They vote in the traditional primary standard, and they simply call it a caucus. The Iowa Democrats, for 50 years, and people will say a caucus is antiquated, Iowa's too white, but it's really about the Iowa Democrats. The Iowa Democrats are very progressive, more progressive, I would say, than most Democrats. Mm-hmm. And look at our track record. We, an unknown Barack Obama, Pete Buttigieg won the last one. Elizabeth Warren really got on the map. So it's not like we're the interest of just white male voters.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. And the process is, and I've been involved in five of them, and I got heavily involved. That's why I took it so personally online. Not personally, but that's why I really defended the caucus. Well, it's about time. It's Iowa. Who gives a shit? It's Iowa's bunch, just a few white people. It doesn't represent America. But a caucus really is retail politics, where you get into a gymnasium with your neighbors in this district. And you really talk for a long time. Well, why are you supporting Elizabeth Warren? What's with you and Bernie Sanders? Well, here's, you really talk about the issues.
Mm.
And then you count at the end, okay, because you can move camps. It's real retail politics. And as people complain about, well, my vote doesn't mean anything. I go into a booth, I'm one vote. Does it really matter? We really went out of there going, hey, I brought five people over today to Bernie Sanders' camp. I mean, that, it was exciting, Kenny. It was exciting.
I have read certain articles that people think that maybe the primary premise is not a great one, because what happens is people like Trump could become, you know.
That's right.
And maybe the best way to do it was the way they did it, you know, back in the day with conventions where, you know, they picked who they thought was the best person.
Well, a caucus is like a mini convention. It really is like a mini convention, and that's what I liked about it. Because in a primary, it's really, what are they going to do? They're going to go in and it's going to be media spend. It's going to get more expensive and more expensive and more expensive. It's going to be covered events. Here in a caucus, every candidate would be within a mile of me. And every district, like my own, every central committee meeting, they say, hey, listen, Pete Buttigieg's team needs a place to stay. Hey, they can stay at my house. I had Elizabeth Warren's staff staying at my house during the caucus. Mm-hmm. It's that up close and personal.
Right.
You know, I got to know Joe Biden on a fairly personal level.
Right. Mid-term. Who's going to run against Biden? The Democrats.
Well,
somebody going to challenge him.
I think somebody will challenge him, and I couldn't tell you who, because I think that he's ripe for a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that it'll be a serious challenge, because an incumbent president, the party is going to get behind that person.
Mm-hmm. I wish he would step away and say, hey, listen, I think a younger person. But the problem also is Kamala Harris. Why is she getting such a bad rap?
Well, I don't know. I think that she's been a little inconspicuous, and she's been, the right has really gone after her for whether she goes to the border or doesn't go to the border, or et cetera, et cetera. But I haven't seen a lot of her. I haven't had a lot to show people going, hey, look at this, or listen to this, or here's a quote. And I don't understand, because my thinking was, okay, he picked a real viable vice president so that he could be a one-termer if necessary. And I don't think she's been positioned, at least yet, to be that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm very concerned that DeSantis is going to be our next president.
Oh my God, Trump with a brain, same despicable policy.
Yeah.
Same horrible.
Yeah.
Entitlement of oh God. I, yes. I, I don't want to say I dislike him more than Trump, because Trump is literally my test for mm-hmm. what I don't like.
Right.
There's nothing about Donald Trump that I like.
Right.
But DeSantis scares me more because is it charisma? He's articulate enough. He's intelligent enough to not just babble mm-hmm. like I'm doing right now.
So what can we talk about that might be funny?
Well, I think what we've talked about has been interesting, mm-hmm. you know, from your eyebrows to Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing funny in my life right now. I mean, my knee hurts and and I'm still stinging from my surgery.
Do you do any exercise?
Oh, I exercise all the time, but it's all upper body because I can't do anything with my lower body.
Do you go to a gym?
Yeah, every day.
Oh, every day you go to a gym?
Just about, yeah.
Oh.
And nice I only gym, do a nice half gym. Hour of a beautiful gym. A Planet Fitness. It's a Planet of Fitness.
And how are the people? Good-looking people or not so much?
Well, there's always good-looking people. That's the beauty of a gym, and it would make a good TV show, a gym, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's the spectrum of people. People that you know, big, little, short, fat, old, young, in a hurry. Lazy,
well,
over-motivated.
Do you shower there?
No.
Oh.
I don't like to shower in public.
Right. No,
well,
I get
you're
that.
Still walking around naked. It's just
I don't like, I know, I don't like the men's locker rooms generally because there's always in there somebody who's whistling. And I don't understand whistling. And when you're naked and you're whistling, it's especially disturbing. Okay?
If you're naked, well, I whistle naked at home alone.
Then the privacy of your home, Gary, you should be able to do anything you want to. I'm all for that. But when I go down to visit my son-in-law, my daughter in San Diego, they have a club there. It's it's called Fit. They have a beautiful pool there and I swim. But one time I used the facilities, to walk around and check it out and do the machines. And it can't, the only way I think you could get a membership to that club is if you're already in shape. Because everybody in there
it's
so
a poser gym.
Unbelievable looking.
So it's I wouldn't want to go there, right? You don't want to go there.
I do because I like to watch.
Do others like you to watch?
I try not to be obvious about it, but after I swim, I take a sauna, and it's co-ed saunas, and
your towel covered.
I'm wearing my bathing
sauna
suit.
Ignorance.
No, nobody's naked, but I'm in there in my bathing suit. Yeah,
but it's co-ed sauna.
Yeah, co-ed.
Mm-hmm. Anybody whistle? If a beautiful girl were in there whistling, would you care?
No. A beautiful girl can do anything. It's the same thing. We have this conversation all the time. If you get, if you're driving your car and you get cut off and you start yelling, and then as you go past them and you're screaming and you see it's a beautiful blonde, you go, oh, hi.
Sorry. Just me. That day.
Yeah, no. I absolutely, get a free pass on everything.
When you make a mistake in traffic and then you're face-to-face with them and they know they think you're a moron, do you just look forward or do you give them the, I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's what I do too. But speaking of good-looking people, we should probably bring in, let's talk about our guest.
Laura Foy?
Yes. Because Laura, I know because she hosted a show that I directed on a channel called G4 TV, which was a channel that was devoted towards video gamers, which I think.
Video games.
Given
She's
the
kind
time,
of a maverick, too, isn't she? With her,
yes.
Didn't she sort of pioneer point of view?
Well, the thing is...
killing?
Oh, yeah. First-person shooters.
First-person, yeah.
Well, the thing is... But I think that channel is kind of ahead of its time because it is amazing now how popular these video game things are. You have video game teams that's becoming very, very popular. These
my son does this.
Oh, yeah, okay. My son does. You know, some of these
obsessively
guys. Yeah, it's really kind of, you know. So G4 was ahead of its time, and Laura was at that time. There weren't that many people who, you know, women weren't video gaming, but she was. Anyhow, she was very charismatic, and she's delightful. And she recently moved to Florida, and which she got hit by the hurricane.
Right,
but she is also a very, very, very liberal, progressive political thinker. She is gay. She has a wife. She has a child. And she now lives in Florida, which is anti almost all of those things.
Yeah. Well, it's the Iowa of the Southeast.
Right. So given Laura's, she's entertaining and she's funny, I think it would be great to have her come on every once in a while and report. Oh, right. That's happening from Florida.
We can share stories from behind enemy lines and watch you gloat about the fact that you live in Southern California. Well, I say we bring her on. I know they're having some internet problems. This could be spotty, but let's give it a try. What do you say?
I say here we go.
You guys look so festive. Should I put some Christmas decor?
Now you're in Florida.
By we, Laura, you mean me.
Just you, Gary.
There's that festive couch of Kenny's means it's not a Hanukkah couch. It's not a Christmas couch. I'm very festive.
You need like a menorah in the background or something, Ken.
Oh, so you're going to bring it the Jew card right away.
Hey, are you in your home?
Yes.
So you have recovered things.
Yeah, for the most part. I was just telling Ken, we got internet back like last week, but it's been like in and out, and so I was just nervous that it might not last for the full hour, but let's just keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
We have already introduced you and talked about credits and your gaming history and all of this. And last
time, we don't really need you anymore.
So punctuality and starting at 4 o'clock, that was just
whatever. We don't want to use up this time talking like I am right now. We really want to, you know, when last we saw you, you were by your swimming pool about 8 hours before a Category 4 hurricane.
Yeah, that's
what you've been doing since.
That was when I was like optimistic and was like, how bad could it be?
Kenny was glib. Kenny is so apologetic about how glib he was. Hey, you going to swim in that pool?
You know, I kind of was the same way. I was like, you know, the news blows things out of proportion. It'll be fine. And then about, you know, 6 hours to the hurricane, our storm shutters blew off.
Wow.
And so we have an entire like glass wall pretty much that looks out onto the pool and the canal. It's lovely, but it was gone. It was fully exposed to, you know, 150 mile per hour winds and debris flying. And the glass was like bending.
Wow.
Like it was about to burst. So we are wearing helmets. We've got candles. We've got the kids hysterical. We're in our upstairs calling 911. Going, rescue us. We are about to be exposed. This glass is going to break. And of course, they were like, we told you to evacuate. Uh-huh.
Told you.
Were you thinking we should have?
Yeah. But what happened big mistake? Was, you know, by whatever grace, the eye of the storm came. And we were able to go out in that half an hour break and board up the windows so that when the next wall came, the glass had some protection on it. So we clearly made it through. Had we evacuated, I don't know if the house would still be standing because we wouldn't have known. We wouldn't have been here to board up that wall of windows during the second storm.
So that made the difference to hold the water out?
Pardon?
Was that activity during the eye of the storm, that is what protected the house
what we did,
coming
boarding up those walls, it stopped the glass from breaking.
Okay, so considering that you didn't evacuate, what would you do next time?
I will evacuate. We're getting hurricane windows.
What's a hurricane window?
I'm getting hurricane impact windows my entire house. I will never put up another storm shutter again. It took me like a day and a half to get the storm shutters up.
You just latch them, right? You have a little latch on your
storm. With these wing nuts, but I mean, I've got a lot of windows here, guys. A lot of windows, second story windows. It's tall windows.
So what was it like then when storm's over, we're going to inch our way back outside? What was the...
So when you put the storm shutters up, you're basically in a tomb. Right?
Right.
Mm. You can't see me. There's no daylight, no nothing. So we got word that it had passed because we had no power, no television, no internet, anything. So we were able to text every now and then. We got word that it had passed. We could tell that the wind was dying down because you could hear the rattling. And we got the hell out of here. We were like, we had a generator.
But where'd you go?
First I went to West Palm Beach, so the other side of Florida, and just got a hotel for a few days, and which was weird because our whole lives had been hurricane, storm, chaos, trauma. Like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get food? And all but there, it's like, you know, restaurants, dancing, beach, party,
got a Mai Tai.
Like, Miami. It was like a mind, you know. And then we stayed at an Airbnb, a couple different ones in Tampa for the next like 2 weeks because I was like, you know, it'll be like camping. It's not like camping with no internet and an 8-year-old and no air conditioning and 100-degree heat. And we were out. I'm like, I'm out of here. It is stifling. It is thick, you know. And then I'm really, another reason I'm glad we did, because your generator, I know all about this now, and I didn't know a thing before this, but your generator runs on, you know, gasoline. 5 or 10 gallons of gasoline will get you like 10 hours of generator time.
Right.
But you couldn't get gasoline,
of course,
because the gas stations were out of gasoline. So people were waiting like 48 hours with their jugs to get gasoline to have power for like 2 days and then have to do it all again. The whole thing was just, it was just terrible.
A quick question before we move on, which is, what about insurance? Did your insurance company cover you, or was there government insurance that helped out?
So I obviously have insurance. They came out, and of course I get this guy. The first thing he says to me is how cheap he is, how he doesn't believe that everything can be fixed. Nothing ever needs to be replaced new. He's had the same pair of sneakers since 1970.
Oh, geez.
And for Christmas, he shops at like shopgoodwill.com for his wife because you can get good bargains there. This is not the guy I want to be my insurance.
So right. Vinny's insurance really was the wrong choice.
I want the guy who was like, oh, there's a scratch. You need a whole new one.
Exactly.
You know?
Right,
that's
right,
my
right.
guy.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm currently in a legal battle with my insurance agent because, you know, he said I need like 3 new shingles, and every roofer was like, you need a whole new roof. So
yeah.
we'll go into litigation there. I'll let you know how that happens.
Okay. So anyhow, Laura, as we were talking before, is a very, very progressive liberal. Part of the LGBTQVURST squad. And now she lives in a state that is very, very...
Gee, I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm in Iowa.
You are too, but you know what?
We're redder than you are.
There's a difference. Every day, there's a bizarre story that comes out, like Florida man does this, Florida woman does. They're just really strange news stories. You know, crocodile or alligator. You know, man sleeps with fucks an alligator. It's always in Florida. In Iowa, you don't hear those bizarre stories.
Well, I don't know. You're underestimating our hog population.
Are they radical? Yeah.
Make them squeal means something here. Yeah.
Are they as radical about it in Iowa as they are here? Here, I find that they're so gung-ho, and it's like everything is fuck Joe Biden. everything is Joe Biden's fault. I went boating one time and I felt like I was in a war, like I was just surrounded. Everybody's boats had flags that said, fuck Joe Biden. Everyone's chanting Trump 2024. I mean, and even during the hurricane, you know, like, I mentioned we couldn't get gas. That was Joe Biden's fault. Everything, you know, I mean, it just seeps its way into every aspect.
Have you had a a conversation, a dialogue with any of these people? Like a real sit down, let's talk about this?
My contractor who I became friendly with, I found out, I should have known. But, you know, we try not to talk about politics ever. Mm-hmm. I like hide in shame of my, you know, my Democratic nature. But, you know, he told me he's a Trump fan and he really likes Trump and he doesn't, the same things you hear, you know, just because he says things crass, I really like him and, you know, I know Biden and, you know.
That was certainly the way people talk here. Now, the Trump supporters have gotten a little quieter here because you really can't defend this guy anymore. But all
of Florida,
the people that I associate with in terms of work and things like that were said the very same thing. Oh, I know he's crass and he says some horrible things, but he's good for the economy. And right. I would argue with them, like, no, he really hasn't done anything for the economy. He inherited the economy and he didn't fuck it up too badly, but actually he did. And I go into the math, and they go, way to go, no. Brandon, and they just it's just as bad here. Look, we doubled down on the Second Amendment. It was already clear that we had a Second Amendment around here, and they doubled down to say, we will vigorously fight for your Second Amendment rights. That's now in the Iowa Constitution, is that the Second Amendment wasn't enough. I mean, that's how bad they are here. And I know that Florida's not much better. And you've got the scary governor that could end up being president. And that's terrifying.
It is. I will say that he is like holier than God here. Everyone's got their DeSantis signs. You know, when nobody had power, that was Joe Biden's fault. When power came back on, that was because of DeSantis. He's pumping these just propaganda videos, commercials, like every station 24/7. So like it's nothing but what a hero he is and a loving man he is. Like I cannot watch television, even post-election, without some DeSantis propaganda commercials. So like he is laying the groundwork. They love him.
He's running already commercials. I mean, is he up for when?
Not for president.
Not for president.
No, but when is he up for re-election for governor again?
He just won.
He just won. So why is he running ads?
I don't know. It's just propaganda to love me.
You know what? I'll bet you he's softening the turf. I mean, certainly the potential of a presidential run is there. He's got to duke it out with Trump to figure out how this is going to go. What's most sinister about him to me is his anti-woke platform.
Right.
That consciousness of other people and gender identification is so bothersome to him that it's destroying the fabric of America. And boy, people are jumping on that.
But I read that his own legal counselor, like someone from his camp, defined woke recently, like in the past day or two. They had like, well, what do you mean by woke? And the answer was like, a person who sees injustices and thinks we should do something about it. By definition, is a pretty good thing.
Right.
Like, team's definition of woke,
right,
it's something so obviously that we should all support. It's like, what are you fighting?
It is to be awake. It's to be conscious. It's to be hyper-conscious. It's to have awakened. I know. I don't know. Kenny and I talk about this all the time. These are scary times, but he's there in Southern California voting.
I would say DeSantis all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny, you're in a different country. Pardon?
Kenny's in a different country.
No,
he's surrounded by liberals.
I don't know how I could do what you guys do. I really don't. Because it's frustrating just, you know, being here and hearing these people talk, you just get so crazy. But I, to be honest with you, and I don't mean to throw a damper on it, but that's my nature. You know, Laura, you just had, there's all this anti-gay stuff going on. You just had another, you just had that guy at that Q Club in Colorado where you used to live.
Yeah, I've been to that club.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
it's around the corner from where I used to live.
It's a, it, I mean, it's really, a, it, it's more than just living among people who are, you know, may not approve of you. But in a world where everybody has guns and we have this vitriol and this hate and a governor like DeSantis and people like Trump speaking, and they go in and they just, and they're killing people.
Well, we've had, for my oldest son, he's 15, we've had two gun scares or threats already. Like at one point, the entire school went on lockdown. Parents were down in the streets. I was down in the street. You know, every police force in Florida was there trying to, you know, figure out what was going on. And this has happened twice. We're not halfway through the school year.
This is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And then I've got my littlest son, he's 8, saying things like, well, I don't really tell everybody that I've got two moms because I don't want to know, you know, what if they don't like it? Things like that. Like, you know, stuff that never would have.
Well, now that he's not the teacher. Well, first of all, I think that the teachers aren't allowed to even say anything regarding that, right? Doesn't Florida have like laws and restrictions?
They're not allowed to, you know, the wording of the law is intentionally vague that teachers are afraid to even go near saying anything about it because they're afraid they're going to get twisted and you know, fired or whatever for even just like approaching the subject. It's a sad. I feel bad for my kids. I feel bad for everybody. But I don't necessarily know if it's worse here than obviously in places like California and New York and Seattle. But I feel like the rest of the world, it's all turning to hate everywhere.
Well, it is. You know, I want to ask both of you, you know, Kenny, I'm almost as old as you are. Laura, I'm sure you're much, much younger than we are. But I remember because I was the young activist working for equal rights and gay rights and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I felt like we were making a lot of progress. In fact, I felt like it was foundational progress. I felt like we were moving the needle to where it's never going to go backwards, even though it's not moving forward fast enough. And now, because of DeSantis and because of Trump and because of this absolute groundswelling of anti-woke, anti-LGBTQ,
they're also hating us, like, Jews as well. Let me throw the Jews in as well. We're getting
the
some press.
Hate and losing Roe v. Wade and all of these things. I am genuinely discouraged.
Yeah,
I think we all ask ourselves, we were the generation of peace, love, and happiness.
Yeah.
None of which we've achieved.
My question, though, and it is for you, Laura, because is there some optimism? Is there some way we can, can we put our flag somewhere?
I feel optimistic about millennials. I really do, because when I talk to, again, people from my 15-year-old son to like mid-20s, I don't remember what age group millennials are these days, since that term came out, but they don't care, right? Like, they don't care if you're gay or straight or bi. Like, they're so fine with whatever.
But are they voting? I mean, are the young people voting?
I don't know if they're voting yet, right? They're not voting yet. But they don't have this hate instilled
in they don't. You're
fear.
Right.
And, like, they're just like, whatever you want to be. If anything, my kid's more woke than I am, you know? Like, they're fine with it. So I feel we got to get past this, you know, these whatever generation produced Lauren Boebert and those people and the Second Amendment toters and the gun, like, get past those people and let the younger kids take over. And I feel it's going to get better.
You're absolutely right. What I think that is incumbent upon us is to die. But it is to keep showing them that there's hope. In other words, it is worth it to vote. It is worth it to get involved. I've got five millennials, and the ones that can vote all voted for the first time this year. And they will often tell me they're discouraged. Like, what's the point? You screwed it up so badly. Well, let's just live out the years that we've got. But I keep saying, hey, look, you guys made the difference in the midterms. You guys did this. And I feel it's important for them to embrace that and keep moving forward, because you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just blown away that the baby boomers ended up to be the generation that elected Donald Trump. I'm just shocked that that would happen. Does your son, the younger one, what do you think his biggest concerns? He come out and talk to you about that? He'll come that, you know, he'll say, "Mommy, this is what really is bugging me."
I mean, at this point, what's bugging him is, like, you know, who didn't share their toys at recess? You know, cool. Like, they're not
that
deep.
Good. Okay. No, that's good. That's good. That's great. I mean, I wonder, given the climate there and the whole thing, is that, you know, listen, the hurricane was traumatic. Maybe it has nothing to do with, maybe it was his concern about climate and why, you know, and hurricanes. You know, climate change, or
well, now he's concerned about hurricanes. He wasn't really before, but like I said, he has expressed concern about telling people that he's got two mommies, and that was something that hadn't come up before.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, he's smart. He's a super smart kid. He came from me, so he's mm-hmm. very, very bright.
Mm-hmm. It skips generation generally, Laura, but okay.
Well, so Laura, here's my question, and it's really, I'm asking myself too, because we're moving out of Iowa eventually, when we can sell the house, the real estate market's down, but I'm kind of a pariah here now. I've run for office. I'm the liberal. They throw bottles at my onto my yard, and I'm not lying. So we've kind of had it, and we're looking for blue places to live. But here you are. I mean, you just had a hurricane. So lots of things are calibrating your perspective. Is this where you're going to stay? Is Florida it?
I think it is.
There's enough that you love, even with redness and hurricanes. And
yeah, I think it is. I mean, look, California would be amazing, but California is to have, you know, a big, beautiful house on the water in California. I'm not getting there with my current salary, right?
Right.
So, I think the good does outweigh the bad. You know, I have these stories, like you know, of people chanting "fuck Joe Biden" and screaming that everything's Biden's fault. But for the most part, the people I've met, you know, as long as we don't talk politics, we get along, right?
Yeah.
And there are blue parts of Florida. You know,
certainly, yeah. South Florida
is a very blue part of Florida. Although they did flip Miami-Dade, which is the first time, I think, in I don't remember how many years, 20, right, 30, that Miami went red. But we didn't have a great candidate anyway. You know, there's blue parts of Florida. So maybe would I move to a different part of Florida? Potentially. But, I mean, I play pickleball every morning in the sun.
No, the quality of life.
I take my boat to dinner.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I haven't worn shoes, and I don't remember.
And because it's still much more affordable, as you say, than Southern California, 100%. Isn't there a fairly large influx of new blood, perhaps new blue blood? Into Florida,
well, I think a lot of people have the fear. I think a lot of the blues have the same fear you did. When I was moving here, all my friends were like, "What?" But I think it's going to get more and more blue. And this could be a completely outlandish thing to say, but from my experience, the Republicans tend to be a little bit less educated and perhaps earn less money, and the prices are going up, right? So the houses are getting more and more expensive. They're building bigger, more beautiful houses. You're not coming in at that $300,000-$400,000 price point anymore. Everything on my street is a million and up. And so as you're building these more expensive homes, I'm hoping we get more educated people who tend to lean Democrat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there's also the Republican Party is aware of this. The leadership in the Republican Party is aware of this, that they elected Trump, Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Herschel Walker.
No, he lost.
Yeah, he lost.
1.7 million votes.
Yeah, that's what he's.
He was a viable candidate. So they are looking. They got Ted Cruz. That's a nut show. That's a clown car. And more of that crazy. And people are starting to see that. They're starting to see it within their own ranks.
I don't know. Did you see Dave Chappelle on SNL, his monologue?
No.
One of the things that he spoke about, which was really true, I think it was true anyhow, but then I am the arbiter of truth, so we'll go with that, that just like recently, the Trump organization just was found guilty for tax fraud and tax evasion.
Okay.
To a Trump supporter, that's good. That just shows that, because most people say, I hate paying taxes.
Scam the system.
Yeah. He gamed the system.
He beat it.
Great. They admire the fact that he does this stuff because they feel as though taxes are unfair.
Right.
They don't want to pay their taxes.
Can get away with it.
Right. Unless a Democrat did it, then it would be terrible.
Oh, of course. Yes. Of course.
Here's a question I want to ask you guys, though. You know how they say on the internet, you can find your people. So whatever weird niche you're into, right? Like I can go find that group of people on the internet. So
I'm on a feminine site where I get to wear panties and do that. I mean,
right. Yeah, I understand. Okay. I watch people eat with their feet. So, I mean, we all have our things.
Oh, could you send me the link?
Yeah. But
don't whistle.
These hardcore conspiracy theorists, the Lauren Boeberts, Marjorie Taylor Greens, were they there already? And Trump made it okay for them to come out of the darkness, like these weird chat rooms made it okay to say, I watch people with their feet.
That's part
or
of it.
Did he create them? Did he spin people up into a frenzy? And now it's like, oh my God, QAnon.
They were there. QAnon was in existence. They were all
there.
Well,
but none of that existed before the internet. But the internet gave such a platform to these people to grow. And then people who were alienated and not connected suddenly, had a group of people that would accept
ground
them.
Zero for they the undoing of America. When archaeologists unearth this civilization 1,000 years from now, it's 1997 with the creation of Fox News. Once a news broadcast organization was specific to an agenda to give not the people the news, but management what they demanded in order to satisfy the thirst, the hunger of those people. That's right. The end of America right there. And because it makes so much money, it's the template. It's not going away. And it propagates and propels all of this misinformation, the dissemination of bullshit.
Speaking of dissemination of bullshit, so does Kingston believe in Santa Claus?
He tells me he does, because I think he thinks if he told me he didn't, then Santa would stop coming.
Now, Kenny and I talked about this on our last show. How far do you go with Santa? Do you put the cookie? Do you have a fireplace?
Footprints? And I actually built a fireplace in this house specifically so I had a place to hang my stockings. But so much of this is for me, right? Like. Mm-hmm. I like the ritual. I like the tradition, that stuff is, why I had kids, because it's not the joy of taking care of them every day. Let me
probably Laura, don't look behind you, Laura.
Don't look behind you.
Why, Kingston? No. So I do it because I like it, He's already asked why the elf hasn't made an appearance this year. And whoever invented the elf
I didn't know that the elves ever showed up to the houses.
The elf shows up, and every morning the elf appears, because at night he goes back to Santa, and in the morning he hides. So every morning is in a different hiding place for the elf that you have to then find. And then you find him. He moves to the fireplace mantle. He watches you all day and sees if you're good or bad. Then he sneaks back to Santa at night and then rehides every morning.
Wait a second. Did you make this up?
Is this your very special Christmas story?
No, this is huge.
What do you mean it's huge? Was this the Will Ferrell movie?
No, that's just the elf.
This is elf mythology that
this
I didn't
even
know?
This has been around for like 10 years. The elf on the shelf. You can get elves in different...
So this is the elf on a shelf phenomenon.
Yes.
Okay,
I knew there was a phenomenon.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a phenomenon. Well, our kids are older, Kenny.
I didn't have an elf on the shelf when I was growing up, but now we have the elf on the shelf, and it is a lot of work. The elf is supposed to come out like after Thanksgiving. My elf makes an appearance about a week before Christmas. It's a lot of hiding.
Well, now let me ask you a question. Is this going to be a very merry Christmas?
Well, this will be interesting. This will be the first time my mother and my wife's mother, we got married, by the way, Ken.
Yes.
My wife's mother are together.
First time. Is that going to be a challenge, or
I think the challenge is the would be minimizing it.
Oh no! We got to delve. I'm delving.
What's going to happen, Laura? What's going to happen? Give us the worst case scenario. Could there be gunplay? Because I know you doubled down on the Second Amendment.
Violence, guns. One's a hardcore Republican. One's a hardcore Democrat. That doesn't have.
Wait, your wife's mother is a hardcore Republican.
Yep.
Whoa. Huh.
Yeah. She lives here in Fort Myers, actually.
Wow. And how is their relationship?
Just going to ask that.
Touch and go. She's very, I like her, but she's a typical Italian mother, or maybe like a Jewish mother, where they're really in your business all the time. And
right.
Very involved.
Okay.
She's nice sometimes.
Right. Okay.
And my mom is like stone cold, not friendly. Those she loves, let alone those she doesn't like. So it could get, we'll see how it goes.
Can we come to your table on Christmas live?
Absolutely.
Can we bring a camera? Can we bring our family? This could be a really dynamic holiday table.
I'll have my Ring camera take some clips. We'll see if anybody, if it starts getting violent.
Well, good luck with that.
Well, it's nice to have Laura. Will be a regular part of the show, I hope, because she's funny and charming. And by the way, Laura,
good looking.
Oh, you are.
Yes.
I wear glasses now. Things have changed.
We all. I was going to say, I had sent you like that song. That'll be your theme song, Laura. Hey, Laura.
Yeah,
there's a guy named Gregory Porter, Gary. You should check them out. And anybody in the audience, Gregory Porter, he's a great singer. And he did a song called Hey, Laura. And that was like, oh, I got to get Laura back.
Well, how charming.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Laura. And hey, Kenny. Yeah. We've exhausted our time that is given to us by
time for us to die.
Podcast God. Laura, it's delightful to actually see you healthy and no bruises, or you have walls and nice looking floors.
Internet held out, so
the animal survived. So
I don't know if that was good, but thank you. It was really fun coming on. You guys are a blast. And
all right, well, I
will gather more intel and I'll report back.
And my son's a heavy gamer, so I'm going to let him know that we're friends. You can enlighten him I'm going to tell him your history in gaming and what's it called? First person point of view.
First person shooters. Hey, are you playing any games? Laura, are you playing any games?
I was playing Nintendo Switch for a long time. Made the jump over to, I started playing Mario games, which I never played when I was like on TV about gaming for the 6 years. I was never into that kind of stuff. That was like the nerds played Mario, but I started playing them and they're really, really fun. So we spent a lot of time in Colorado, but now I live in Florida. I go outside.
Well, I'm still a gamer. I mean, I wasn't a gamer before. But I love all of the Call of Duties and anything to do with killing Nazis. So you right. know me.
He's a big Nazi killer.
I should a Nazi, open up. And I drink my martini.
So, right. So, yeah. My sons are into gaming. My oldest son is seriously into gaming. Spends probably 4 hours a day.
And well, maybe that's I said this to Gary.
He's up all night. And goes to college. But I never got into it, guys. I never got into it.
Well, you're too old. Laura, G4 TV was kind of ahead of its time, considering now you have these giant esports.
Yeah.
Stuff going on, so yeah, it's
but
amazing.
Did you watch the relaunch and then failure of the new G4?
Oh, I didn't know it relaunched.
Yeah, it relaunched. It brought out Kevin Pereira, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
and like Morgan Webb and Adam Sessler, and then it like imploded. Everyone got fired. It got a ton of bad press, and it shut right down.
Oh my goodness, I didn't hear about any of that.
Yeah, you know, they didn't ask us back.
When we hashtag this show, when we hashtag this show to build an audience, this is going to be what gets the most attention. It won't be the hurricane. It won't be anything about politics. It'll be hashtag, you know, hashtag gamer, hashtag open shooter. First person shooter?
No, open shooter, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
First person shooter. First person shooter.
I think we probably should put the thing about the feet eating thing, eating food with your feet. I think that there's a whole group of people out there that might be interested in
that. Probably. That should be the thumbnail.
Yes.
Yeah. Hashtag fetish.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
All right, Gary, say goodnight.
Time for me to go. I'm going to say goodbye. Don't go away. Don't go away. Say goodbye with us. Thanks so much for watching The Gary and Kenny Show. Our special guest today was Laura Foy. You'll be seeing more of her. You can catch us on all the popular podcast platforms. Of course, we have our own YouTube channel. Go there. Give us a thumbs up. And we're on DBNA streaming television. So until next time, happy holidays. Sing us out, Kenny.
I don't think anybody wants to hear me sing.
Whistle!
No. Just bye-bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Say good night, Laura.
Glad you're safe, Laura.
Good night, Laura.
Kenny, always glad you're safe. So long, everybody.